Everything that's given to us is an opportunity for the power of Christ to rest upon us. We love to blame circumstance, inability, afflictions upon everyone else. The Lord says, I'll be with your mouth. I'll even train it as you go. He's so wonderful, isn't he? So long-suffering with us. How encouraging is this?
And really, at the end of the day, that is our hope. Today's program, that it become a real encouragement to you. Because we do. We come up with all of these excuses, don't we? Oh, we just don't talk well. It's just not my place. I'm not a pastor. What have I got to say? I'm not sure. The excuses roll off our tongues just like it rolled off Moses' tongue. But God has an answer, and that's what we're looking at today here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Once again, Exodus chapter 4. Send someone else.
God said something that I have always found remarkable, inspired something in 1 Corinthians, and I still don't think I understand the full implications of it. It pleased God, through the foolishness of the message preached, to save those who believe. God loves to use a really foolish, weak means to save, and he's told us, that's why I put together a church, that's why I put together this, that's why I send someone to do this. It's all over the scriptures. Don't you think if we really believe that, church would be packed? Don't you think if we really believe that, pastors would give themselves all the more to preach it? Don't you think if we really believe that, we would take every chance we possibly could to just sit under the message because that's the way God chose to save those who believe? Don't you think if we really believe that, we would be there and we'd say, I'm never letting my kid miss that? We have a whole host of excuses. If God said, you shall be my witnesses to the ends of the earth, and he's about to show us, I have absolute control of the human heart. I turn it. I hold it. Everything about that human heart is mine. Don't you think we would have more confidence to be witnesses? Do you think if we really believe that God was in control of everything and that he's enthroned and seated over all, and we look at a world that's spinning out of control, it might incite us instead of fear to pray? One of the elders said to me the other day, they said, you know, why don't you just pray against ISIS from the pulpit? I said, I should. You know he can take them down. Yep. Do I believe that? Here's Moses. Lord, they're going to say that you didn't appear to me. I mean, you want me to go? And they have no validation of that. You want me to go and tell them you appeared in a little desert shrub out on the backside of some mountain. They're not going to believe that, Lord. How many times do we look at a situation and say, well, what if this and what if that? And the fundamental issue is not about what might happen. The fundamental issue is whether I believe the word of promise. They will not believe. God said they would. Who's not believing here? That's the issue. Moses. How do you think God should respond to Moses? This is a pretty blatant rejection of his call to believe and trust in the Lord. I mean, this is a pretty blatant rejection. I don't know how else to look at it. They will, they won't. If I had a kid do that to me, I don't know if I'd take well to that, you know? I do have kids do that to me, by the way. Angels don't do that. This thrice holy God who's a consuming fire. So what does God do? Notice your God. This is why I love the Old Testament. You study the character of God. Notice your God here. So what does he do? Verse 2, the Lord said to him, what's that in your hand? He said, a staff. He said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. We read these and think, they're not that really amazing of signs. I mean, they are, but they aren't. I mean, God could have picked up Sinai and threw it out in the ocean, you know. God could have done something really, really, really remarkable. But we find that the Egyptians could do some of these things. And that's where I think we have to understand exactly what God was doing here for Moses. None of what God does in terms of the plagues and in any of this stuff is abstract, meaning it has a specific intention in Exodus. And if we don't get that, we miss the glory of Exodus. The snake was the symbol of Egyptian power. The snake was the source of Egyptian wisdom and healing. They would put it in healing, and you'll think here of the leprosy. You think of, they would put it, as we looked at last time, the uraeus on the crown. All the gods of Egypt, if we look at it, many of the gods of Egypt are portrayed as snakes. And in fact, the scriptures validate this. Ezekiel 29, son of man, set your face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and against all Egypt. Speak and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Pharaoh, king of Egypt, O great snake, serpent, who lies in the midst of the rivers, who has said, my rivers, the Nile is my own. I've made it for myself. I will put hooks in your jaws. Then all the inhabitants of Egypt shall know that I am the Lord, because I've been a staff of reed to the house of Israel. You'll notice in verse 20 that this staff that God has for Moses here is called the rod of God. We just sang out about that rod, by the way. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Oh, I see Christ. The rod is his powerful shepherding rule. You're going with my rod, Moses. You're going in my power, Moses. I hold kings. I hold kingdoms. And you're going to take that sign of my power with you, and you're going to rule in the midst of that land. What a sign. And you're going to cast it down. It's going to become a snake, and you're going to take hold of it. And he adds another. Leprosy. Dreaded by everyone at that time. You didn't want to get leprosy. Your limbs fall off. Put it in. Pull it out. It's white. Put it back in. I control health. I'm the God who controls the body. We'll look at all this. This is coming on the plagues. And then he goes and he says, take a little bit of water and dump it out, and it'll become blood on dry ground. Now, he would never use that particular sign, but it did anticipate a much bigger sign. The Nile was one of the greatest gods of Egypt. Guess what God was going to do through Moses? God, his whole cabinet, Pharaoh and his royal cabinet, would go out every morning, and they would sing this song to the Nile. And we have this from archaeologists. Hail to thee, O Nile, the issues that issues from the earth and comes to keep Egypt alive. God's going to turn the whole thing to blood. What an amazing thing. What did he just do? He just answered Moses' fear. They won't believe. I'll show you. I'm going to throw down signs on them that they've never... Oh, they'll believe. You don't have to worry about that. I'll take care of that, Moses. What an encouragement. You ready to go now, Moses? How does Moses respond? But Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent. Either in the past or since you've spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and of tongue. What in the world is that? I can't speak. Moses, I'll give you the words. I'll give you the words to say, I'm going to be with you. My rod is going to be in your hand. I'm going to deliver. You're not alone. Lord, but I can't speak. I want you to notice here, a wooden translation. I'm not eloquent. Here it is. From yesterday or from 3 days ago, nor since you have spoken to your servant. In other words, since I came to this bush a few days back, you have not rectified a real problem in my life. You've not fixed something in my life. I'm not a good speaker, and since I've been standing in front of you, you still haven't fixed it. I'm not eloquent enough. I don't know what to say. What kind of eloquence was the Lord asking for, you know? Verse 13, here's what you say. Let me spell it out for you, word for word. Say to this people, the Lord God, the Lord of your God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. That's what you go say, Moses. All you got to do is give the report. All you got to do is report. You're a reporter. You're a postman. You deliver the mail. You're all worried about results. I'm with you. It's a success. But I'm not eloquent. Have you caught the two ironies yet in this? The first is the Lord says they will believe and listen. Moses says, no, they won't. Moses isn't believing or listening. Second irony, I'm not eloquent. I can't speak. Here's the irony, but he has a lot of eloquence to backtalk Yahweh. I mean, this is remarkable eloquence to backtalk God at the burning bush. It's reasoned, it's slick. He's totally avoiding the call. He has single-handedly turned the conversation to complain against God. We're learning something about Moses. We're learning something about us, you know. It's remarkable. The greatest excuse we all use not to witness is, I can't speak. That's what everyone says. I can't speak. I'm not eloquent, you know. Leave it to the pastors. What do you expect from the Lord? He's so long-suffering, isn't he, with us? The Lord responds in verse 11, who's made man's mouth? Who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I? That's a remarkable verse. I determine all these things. You go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. What God is saying to Moses is this: I have formed you, I made you, I designed you, I knew you, I formed you exactly the way I want you to be. Who makes the mute, the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? So in other words, listen to this, whatever physical limitation you have, whatever sickness, whatever weakness, whatever lack, whatever excuse you want to put, God ordained it for you, all of your abilities, inabilities, and disabilities, as one pastor said. Sovereignly appointed. And if you consider it a weakness, praise the Lord, because that's where he wants to show the excellence of his power as it rests upon you. That's what Paul said in the thorn in the flesh. I pleaded with the Lord to take this thing away from me, and he wouldn't do it. And I did it three times. And then he said, my grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I'm going to boast in it then, if that's the case. Imagine if we thought like that in all of our circumstances. Everything that's given to us is an opportunity for the power of Christ to rest upon us. We love to blame circumstance, inability, afflictions upon everyone else. The Lord says, I'll be with your mouth. I'll even train it as you go. He's so wonderful, isn't he? So long-suffering with us. How encouraging is this? Moses, I've called you to my service. I'm going to go get my people. This is the most exciting thing. Ready? Lord, send someone else. What's truly amazing is that God gets anything accomplished with us. I mean, really, the greatest obstacle to going and getting Israel is this servant's hard heart. And now we're at the real issue. Now, games are over. It's all real clear. All these excuses have been answered. It's all real clear. It's not about your concerns. It's not about your success. It all has come clean. You just don't want to do it. You just don't want to do it. You don't want to get out there and do what I've called you to do. You do not want to submit to the will of God. You do not want to really do that prayer, not my will, but your will be done. And you see it in the way that God, Moses is talking to God. Notice that Moses won't use all capital letters. In other words, Moses won't use the holy name as he's speaking to the Lord. Notice they're small letters. And let me just say, at this point, when you're giving faithless responses to the Lord like this, now you're ready to meet the anger of the Lord. Did you catch that verse? For the first time, so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Not the same word as consume. that he later used to consume some outside the camp. But it aroused his severe displeasure. When there is direct, defiant disobedience to the Lord, you can arouse his displeasure. Moses needed to learn that. He needed to learn that to lead people out too. There are certain things you can't do. God takes pleasure in obedience. He hates rebellion. And even in this, look at what God does. Okay, is not Aaron your brother? I know he can speak. I'm going to deal with this one more later. He's coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he'll be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him, put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth. I'll be with both of your mouths. And I'll teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. Moses would become a bold prophet before Pharaoh. Now I stop tonight, and I think, you know who wrote this, right? Would you ever want to record that about yourself? Moses is the author of that. Which tells you it's inspired, by the way, because you'd never put that down about yourself. You would put your down as a striking, obedient person. What do you think the Lord's after from his servants? Well, they say that years ago when John Calvin did not want to stay in Geneva, William Farrell tried to stop Calvin from going to Strasbourg and said that God would curse him if he refused to help the Protestant churches in Geneva. And Calvin says he was struck with terror and gave up his journey and went back to Geneva. That's not really the way you want it to go, by the way. The Lord wants sincere, obedient hearts. Think of the picture at the end of this. We'll come back to this next week. Moses takes his wife and his sons. Just picture this with me for a moment. He rides on a donkey with the rod of God in his hand. And he rides through the desert and he returns back to Egypt, and God is going to plunder that whole nation through a little lowly shepherd on a donkey. And now you know where I'm going. A lowly desert shepherd on a donkey, holding the rod of God in his hand, plundering the mightiest nation of the world and conquering the serpent. Sound like a story you know? Sure it is. I wonder what it was like for the disciples, and I'll close with this. When one day Jesus says to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied, a colt. Untie and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them. I've always thought to myself, what? Oh, here's my donkey. The Lord needs him. See how in control? And he sets on the donkey. And all of that was fulfilled to say, behold, your king is coming to you. Humble, mounted on a donkey. No back talk. Behold, I've come. In the volume of the book, it's written of me to do your will, O God. The whole way on the donkey, he rides right up on into Jerusalem, and he goes to the cross. And do you know what the cross was called? Golgotha. Because there, it was the place of the skull where the head of the devil was crushed, the serpent. And he did that because he loves you, and he became the cursed one, and he rose, and he today took that rod of iron, and now he rules all the nations with a rod of iron by the rod of his power. That's Psalm 110. And you know what he's asked of you today? He's asked of you this. I've saved you. I marched in there for you. I delivered you. I pulled you out of Egypt. I plundered that nation. And I brought you out with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm. And I heal. I have power over the lepers. You see it all through the gospel. I have power to deliver you from all of your sins. And what does he ask of us today? In response to the great grace that we've received, you shall be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. This earth needs to hear that. And I've left you with the greatest sign. It's the sign of my resurrection. All authorities and principalities and powers right now, the Lord wants you to know, they're all under my feet, he says. I hold hearts. I've led captivity captive. I've given gifts to men. I hold human hearts. I can change them. Are you confident in my plan? Are you confident in my power? Are you confident in my ways? Are you confident that I have designed you and made you just for what I have intended for you? So that means your purpose then is not to live for yourself. We should be about the will of our Heavenly Father, as Jesus was about the will of his Father. He's been so patient with us. He's created us, fashioned us, knows us, all your abilities, inabilities, and disabilities. Every circumstance, he knows, he holds. And he's called you to be his light so that men would see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The Lord is your defender. What can man do to you? May we learn, and I close with this, may we learn to live out more and more, and this week pray to him and understand what it means, not my will, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray to him. Heavenly Father, thank you for instructing us in your good will for us, and we make all the excuses in the world and they're sinful. And we ask that you'd forgive us for being sinful and ultimately wanting to lead isolated lives for ourselves. Give us hearts of servants. And let us be eager and willing to do your will without any backtalk. And to be confident that you're with us. That whatever you've called us to do or who to speak to, you've given us the words and you will give us the words. That we have everything we need by your power. And are so thankful that if Christ reigns, we reign. And we share in that rod rule so that the end is already, yes and amen, the end is already determined. We are victors. And it's as good as if we were already there because Jesus is there. Be with us this week and let us be confident that we are witnesses of the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords who arose victorious and conquered sin, death, the devil, and the grave so that we today might live in the power his resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. Wow, what a message out of Exodus chapter 4. One that is available if you would like to hear it again, and we'll tell you how to do just that here in just a moment. And this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Closing out today's program, we invite you to contact us. Maybe you have a question, comment about the program. Maybe you'd like to listen to the broadcast again. Any reason at all, we'd love to hear from you, even if it's just a quick praise report saying thanks for the program. That means a great deal to us. You reach out to us at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805. Now, bear in mind, as you visit us online, again, agradio.org, that'll also provide a great jumping-off point to the other platforms that we're available on. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Again, you can jump off to any of those platforms through our website, agradio.org. If you do have a question you would like Pastor Chris to address here on the program, we would invite you to use your voice memo app on your smartphone. Record your question, your name, and where you're calling from, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. If we use your question on the air, we'll email you back and let you know when the program airs, so you'll be able to listen to Pastor Chris's answer again right here on Abounding Grace Radio. And then, finally, as we conclude our time today, a quick reminder that this radio broadcast airs on this station you're listening to because friends of the ministry come alongside of us prayerfully and financially. There is a financial cost to making sure that these programs continue to air here on this station. And if you would like to link arms and partner with us, become a part of this family, we would love to hear from you. Again, reach out to us at agradio.org or simply call 888-504-8805. Well, Monday, as we pick up where we left off here in Exodus, we move along to Exodus chapter 4, verses 18 through 31. Moses, you need a circumcised heart. Now, just exactly what that means and how it affects you and I today, Well, that'll be the subject of our time on Monday. Have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you back here then for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 8:30 for the morning service, 5 p.m. for the evening service, and both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.